Hello and good morning, church family. It's great that you are with us this morning. Again, it's great to see you on this special Sunday where we're more than family as usual. Today is Mother's Day, so happy Mother's Day to all of you. With that being said, my gift to all you mothers is I'm going to make today's service very quick. As we have been doing for the past couple of weeks, I'm going to be showing you our epistle lesson, our gospel lesson for this morning, and then going straight into the sermon I have prepared for you today. Let me get the PowerPoint up. You should be able to see that. Okay. And our, like I said, our first lesson for today is the epistle lesson from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 10. And Peter says to his like-minded believers, he says, "Instead, like a newborn baby, desire the pure milk of the word. Nourished by it, you will grow into salvation, since you have tasted that the Lord is good. Now you are coming to him as to a living stone. Even though this stone was rejected by humans, from God's perspective, it is chosen valuable. You yourselves are being built like living stones into a spiritual temple. You are being made into a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Thus, it is written in Scripture, 'Look, I am laying a cornerstone in Zion, chosen, valuable. The person who believes in him will never be shamed.' So God honors you who believe. For those who refuse to believe, though, the stone the builders tossed aside has become the capstone. This is a stone that makes people stumble and a rock that makes them fall. Because they refuse to believe in the word, they stumble. Indeed, this is the end to which they were appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people who are God's own possession. You have become this people so that you may speak of the wonderful acts of the one who called you out of darkness into his amazing light. Once you weren't a people, but now you are a God's people. Once you hadn't received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Our gospel lesson this morning continues in the gospel according to John. Here we see Jesus speak to his disciples at the Last Supper before his passion, where he goes to Jerusalem to ultimately die for us on the cross. And these are his words to the disciples before he leaves them. And he tells them, in chapter 14, verses 1 through 14, he says, "Don't be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. My Father's house has room to spare. If that weren't the case, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When I go to prepare a place for you, I will return and take you to be with me so that where I am, you will be too. You know the way to the place I'm going." Thomas asked, "Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you have really known me, you will also know the Father. From now on, you know him and seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father that we will be enough. That will be enough for us." Jesus replied, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been with you all this time, whoever has seen me has also seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I have spoken to you, I don't speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me does his works. Trust me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on account of the works themselves. I assure you that whoever believes in me will do the works that I do. They will do even greater works than these because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask for in my name, so that the Father can be glorified in the Son. When you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it. You look just like your dad, Jim. You look just like Lewis. You've got that Roger smile with a little bit of your mom in you, too. The more I get older, the more I tend to agree with those statements that I hear spoken to me in person, spoken on Facebook, in the comments below pictures with Kendall. And since I've turned 30, which was really only a month ago, I've spent a lot of time looking at myself. Like right now, I'm looking at myself, you know, especially during this quarantine. I don't have anywhere to go. There's nowhere to go. Everywhere I look, there I am. I've seen myself more during this pandemic than anyone else. When I do these Zoom meetings now, when I record myself for Facebook sermons and the Facebook devotions, there I am. Looking in the many different reflections of myself, I've noticed that I begin to get my Father's face and unfortunately even his belly. And no, you may not think so. My hair or lack thereof, I'm starting to thin a little bit. I still have his smile and his nose and his blue eyes, but the thinning hairline, I think I could do without. You know, the more my sister gets older, people tell her that she resembles my mom, and I think so too. So much so that on the phone, when you talk to her, even their voices are identical, and it's very uncanny. And when my mom, my sister, my aunt, and my cousin, they all get together, it's like listening to one person speaking to themselves in a room, and it's extremely entertaining to listen to. Sorry, y'all. But even though my father is gone and the mother and the memory of him gets harder and harder to hold onto as time passes, it comforts me that I can still look into the mirror and see him, that I can still hear him when I laugh and when I speak. But I also understand at the same time, it's hard for those to hear me or to see me, those of you who loved him as much as I did, for those of you that did. I can't explain how just oddly bittersweet those moments are for some of you. Yet it's nice. It's nice to know, too, that I know where I come from and that I'm loved. There are so many folks out there today that are trying to figure out just who they are. And you see that through all the ads that come through the commercials on TV. And you remember a lot of them were around before this pandemic, but you've got Ancestry.com and 23andMe. And I'm sure a lot of other DNA testings are out there. Other DNA testing websites are out there that give you the chance to know your story without having to get on the Mario television show. You can even get your own DNA testing for your dogs to know just what breed they are. And of course, we would want to know these things. We want to find out where we come from, and it's really nice to know our story. While I may continue to look like my father with every passing day, it's still nice to know that there are traces and subtleties of my mother, though. too in me. And I wish I had inherited my mom's metabolism, but at least I inherited her nose instead of my dad's nose. But more than just appearances, these things, there are things about myself that I've learned because I know who my parents are. And, you know, that's not a luxury for some people. Knowing my parents has helped me know myself. You know, I'm extremely analytical. I tend to overthink things, but I'm also pretty laid back, as a lot of you know. I remember my parents one day telling me, especially my dad and my mom agreeing, and telling me one day to really just sum me up in one package and one complete motto sentence. Son, remember him saying, you're a dessert eater first. And what he meant was, I like to procrastinate on what needs to get done and do the fun stuff first. Instead of drawing on my father's hardworking attributes and my mother's caring attributes, I tend to do my own thing. So when my mom tells me that something your dad would have done, as she sometimes says when we talk about things that go on in my life, or when she said something that reminds her of me, reminds her of him, or something that resembles him, or even things that I remind myself of her in some way, I feel extremely moved and proud because that meant that some of their likeness came out of me and could be seen by others. I want so much to be like the funny, charismatic, kind, loving, life of the party person that my father was. You know, and I want so much to be the type of person my mother is, who is caring, nurturing, and will always be there for you when you need her. I long to be like them, to be as good as they were to me for my own children someday. And this morning I'm talking about my likeness, how I am like my parents, and how I resemble my parents the most, and their attributes through me, not just because we're celebrating mothers today, but because I think Jesus and John's passage for us today, I think Jesus is talking about the same thing, the same likeness. In chapter 14 of John's gospel, Jesus gathers with his disciples at the Last Supper on the night before he is sentenced to die on the cross to prepare them for the hard days that are ahead of them, saying, don't be troubled, trust in God, trust also in me. My Father's house has room to spare. If that were not the case, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When I do go to prepare a place for you, though, I will return and take you to be with me, so that where I am, you will be also. You know that place. You know and that place, and you know the way to the place where I am going. And for Jesus, death was near, and he knew it. And that's why he assured his disciples to not be worried, to not be afraid. And that's something I think we can find comfort in right now. He was returning to the Father to prepare a place for us in heaven, in the eternal household of God, where John tells us, and the psalmists always tell us, that there's plenty of room for us. Then he reminds them that they know the way to God's home. And we talked about the way in last week's gospel lesson, still in John's gospel. Jesus says, I am the door. Remember, I am the gateway. And we know that greener pastures are there waiting for us, so long as we go through the gate and not over it. But then, after Jesus encourages the disciples and assures them of these promises, doubting Thomas in uniform fashion asks Jesus, wait, Lord, wait. We don't know where you're going. If we don't even know where you're going, how can we know the way? I sometimes find the disciples to be beyond hopeless at times, and sure those of you that study these scriptures feel the same way when you get to Thomas here. And these are one of those times where the disciples seem the most hopeless. And yet again, Jesus clarifies much about himself and God as he patiently reveals one of the most important things in all of the New Testament. And Jesus confesses that, again, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father, no one comes to God except through me. If you have really known me, have really seen me in action and really taken into consideration my words, you will also know the Father who sent me to you. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Still, Philip, at this point, he pipes up and says, Lord, just show us God. That'll be good enough for us. I mentioned that the disciples always just seem hopeless. And Philip just seems to pour on the doubt, embodying just the human spirit, kicking Jesus when he's already down, saying, sure thing, Jesus, Son of God, just show us your Father in heaven right now, and that'll be sufficient proof enough for us. But still, the disciples long to see the Father. That it almost sounds like they are doubtful. Yet they have had Jesus right in front of them the whole time, the Son of God. I can hear the pain and disappointment in Jesus' voice when he gives his reply. He says, don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been with you all this time? Were the words of glory and hope that I've been speaking to you all this time not enough? Were the actions of love and friendship not understood in my works of miracles seen in others? The biggest and best of the work that I'll be doing, the biggest and best of all miracles is yet to come for you. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I have spoken to you, I don't speak on my own. They come from the Father. The Father who dwells in me does his works. And the works that I do, they come from the Father. Trust me when I say, Philip and friends, that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on account of the works themselves. In other words, this whole scene reminds me of the scene from The Lion King where, you know, Simba is having that identity crisis and he finds himself collapsing in front of the water. And I believe that Jesus is all the beloved Disney characters, Simba, Mufasa, and Rafiki, all rolled into one, explaining to us just exactly who he is and calling us to remember who we are. Essentially, what I mean is, if we look close enough like Simba had to, and hard enough as he had to, at Jesus' reflection in the scriptures, then I think we should see what God looks like. If we listen close enough and hear, and if we listen close enough and hard enough to Jesus speaking to us in the scriptures, we should hear God's voice too. Forgetting what Jesus looks and sounds like makes us, I think, forget who God is and who we are. You know, this is what I think. I think and I believe it. This is what Jesus means by, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And I think this, and I believe that this is what Jesus is saying when he says, no one comes to the Father except through me. So if you want to know what God looks like and sounds like, just look at his Son. If you want to remember what God looks like and sounds like, just look at his Son again. If you want to know or remember how to act or what to do if there's a pandemic, and you have to be in quarantine with your family, just go back to the scriptures, to these scriptures, and look at his son again and again and again until his likeness becomes a part of you. You know, like me wanting to hold on desperately to the memory of my dad by looking into the mirror, into a reflection, or talking about him with those who knew him, we too can, I think, hold on to the likeness of God by reading and talking about God's Son in the Bible. The Gospels, specifically, especially this text for us today, are meant to be a mere reflection of Jesus for us to follow. If the Gospels are a reflection of Jesus and Jesus is a reflection of God, and we are to mirror Jesus by reading the scriptures, then when people who've never seen God meet us, we should come alive and show them our reflection of Jesus from our readings of the scripture. In other words, as my parents' son, when people see me, they see my mother and my father. They see a reflection of them. And when people hear me, they tend to hear my father. Those that have known him, they hear an echo of him. And when people know me, they know my father and my mother, though they may never have even met them. You know, therefore, as Christians, similarly, when people see you, they should see a reflection of Christ in you. When people hear you, they should hear an echo of Christ's words in you. And when people know you, they should know Christ, who is God's Son, in you. Brings a very different meaning when we think about children of God, that God is in us, and that we were made in the image of God, the Imago Dei. So today, I want to leave you with maybe a challenge on this Mother's Day. I want you all to take time to remember what it is that makes you, you. Take the time to reflect on who it is that made you, you. I want you to take the time to thank them. Thank them with a phone call or a card. Thank them by being to others better than they were to you. And finally, my challenge is, and most important, what I think is most important of all, thank them with a prayer. Jesus, you know, he ends his reply to Philip's request to just show us the Father. And Jesus says at the end of his reply to that, you know, if you know me, then you know the Father, because I am in the Father and the Father is in me. And he says, I'll do whatever you ask for in my name so that the Father can be glorified in the Son. He says, when you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it. So today I want all of us in complete belief that Jesus will do it for us. I want us to pray and ask Jesus to let those who mothered us, whether that's our God in heaven who nurtured us or our parents. I want all of us to pray and ask Jesus to let those whom we're thinking about right now to know our love and thanks for all that they have done us and all that they have done for us. So I'm going to close this out in prayer, and I hope that all of you have a very joyous and celebratory Mother's Day. And thank you to all you mothers out there. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you so much for bringing me into being. That you thought of me and loved me so dearly to be placed into a family like the one you've given me. Thank you for their nurturing, for their guidance and their love. Dear Lord, I ask that you let those two people know how much I care and how much I love them, especially on this day. Thank you for my mother. Thank you for my father. Thank you for their relationship. Thank you that I resemble them. Thank you that they resemble you more than anything. And I pray and ask that you continue to shape me and make me more like you and more like them. Pray all this in your son's holy name. Amen. Thank you all. God bless you all, and happy Mother's Day.